A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 4. Arpat. Din woke up an indeterminate amount of time later to find out that he drooled all over Fett's Beskar. Half his cheek was creased with sleep, and there was an ache in his neck that spoke to at least a standard hour bent in an uncomfortable position. He was warm, too, and heavy. His thoughts were wrapped in a comfortable layer of fog. There was a warm, heavy hand in his hair. All of these little pieces of information hit Dan all at once, and he jerked back, flushing with embarrassment, only to nearly overbalance himself on the stool he was still slumped in. Fett caught Dan by the elbow. "Easy," he rumbled, sounding amused. "Relax, Jaren, you're fine." If he was bothered by serving as a pillow for however long Dan had been asleep, he didn't show it. Dan shook his head, trying to clear away the fog of sleep, and sat up straight. His lower back protested, half sore from his unplanned nap and half sore from the low, throbbing ache Din could still feel in his leg. "Sorry," Din said. His face was still bare. The coolness of the air against his exposed cheeks made him twitch. His eyes darted up to Fett's, which were dark and hard to read, and then away. I didn't mean to fall asleep." Fett frowned. "Hey," he said, and he gripped the back of Din's neck, gentle but firm. He was still wearing gloves, but his fingers were warm even as they disturbed the back-to-patch still stuck to the back of Din's head. The touch wasn't like how it had been before, around the front of Din's throat, but it wasn't unlike how it had been either. The touch was grounding, rooting. Fett's hand was broad and strong. Fett shook Din, very gently, like a loth wolf scruffing its cub. "Easy," Fett repeated. "I don't mind. It happens sometimes." Din snorted. He doubted that. "It does," Fett said. "This sort of thing..." He didn't need to describe what this sort of thing was. Not when Din could still feel the echo of Fett's weight bearing down on him, driving a bruise into his bones. "It takes a lot out of you. If you need to close your eyes a bit after and rest, it doesn't bother me. I spent an hour in worse places." An hour, Din thought, still too embarrassed to look Fett in the eyes. Fett kept his hand on the back of Din's neck, tugging idly at a few tangled strands of hair that curled against Din's skin. "You get a lot of sleep lately, Jaren?" Fett asked, after it became clear to him that Din didn't know what else he could say. Din shrugged. He hadn't slept well even before the light cruiser, not unless he'd been down in the covert surrounded by the tribe. Getting too comfortable anywhere, even on the Razor Crest in the depths of space, was a good way for a Mandalorian to get killed. He usually managed to sleep a little in hyperspace, but outside of that, the best he could usually do was take a nap. Sleep on the light cruiser had come only in fits and spurts, and usually after Din had exhausted himself fighting a headache, if it had come at all. Fett hmmed thoughtfully. "I don't sleep well either," he confessed. "Still, it's good to get an hour or two in wherever you can, yeah? How do you feel?" "I'm fine," said Din automatically. He was fine. Sore and tired, still blurred, and he knew that as soon as he stood up, his leg would come back awake loudly, but Din was... fine. Better than he'd been in a while, if he was being honest. His low, ever-present headache had faded into a faint pressure at the base of his skull, soothed by Fett's warm hand, and his sense of balance was more or less intact. The nap had even managed to balm some of the heavy weariness in Din's limbs. "Fine," Din repeated. Fett watched him for a moment and then nodded. "How's this?" he asked, and skimmed his other hand down the length of Din's thigh from hip to knee. Din sucked in a breath, surprised. Even the light touch through his kuté woke all the nerves in his leg, a banked fire roaring back to full height. Din reached out and clutched the edge of the counter again involuntarily. The tension made his arm ache. Needs Bacta, then, said Fett, decisive. Back straight, Jaren, don't fall over. The order was given gently, but it was still an order. Din obeyed as involuntarily as he'd gripped the counter. Fett let go and eased himself out of the circle of Din's arms. Without the support, Din swayed a little before locking his back. The loss of contact made a small noise build up in the back of his throat, which Din passed off as a hiss of pain. Come on, up you get, said Fett, offering a hand. I don't keep Bacta down here. Not my usual spot for a scene, you know. Din didn't know, and he eyed Fett's offered hand like it was a spit viper puffing up to strike. I'm fine, Din said for a third time. Fett only arched a scarred eyebrow. The expression on his face made Din want to prove Fett wrong, so he took a breath, steeled himself, and used his grip on the counter to haul himself up to his feet. Red lights flashed around the edges of his vision. Din gritted his teeth and swallowed the sound he wanted to make, half a whine and half a growl of pain. His legs held him up, though. Din met Fett's eyes briefly. See, he wanted to say. Fine. Stubborn, Fett only said, though he sounded fond. Din didn't know what to do with that, either. Fett barely knew him. He couldn't be fond of Din. Can you walk? Din was less sure of his legs if he didn't have the counter to hold him up, but he was fine, and he was going to prove it. He let go, the tension making pain sing up his right arm, and took a step away from the counter. I feel like a bantha calf, he thought, wobbling a little, but he didn't pitch forward, and his knees held, even though the ache in his thigh burned into true pain for a moment, and his breath caught in his throat. Very good, said Fett. Come on, I'll get you settled. Fett bent and collected Din's helmet off the floor and offered it to Din, gathering his own off the counter and tucking it underneath an arm. We'll be going back through about half the palace, he explained. Usually me and Fennec are the only ones moving this time of night, but just in case. If you want to. Din took the helmet and studied it for a second. Its smooth silver face was as inscrutable as always. I shouldn't, Din thought, like he thought every time. And then he put the helmet back on anyway, though he left the seals disengaged. Fett scooped up Din's thigh plate, too, though that he kept. Din's helmet whirred softly, the internal controls recalibrating as it adjusted to being back on Din's head. His visor flickered. Still fine? Fett asked, eyes glittering as he watched Din take a few tentative steps. Din's leg protested every movement, but the pain was manageable. Shockingly so, given how extensive it was. Fett knows what he's doing, Din thought. He shivered a little, gut tightening. How much practice did someone have before they learned how to cause pain that effectively? Din had known plenty of beings who would love to cause pain, of course, but that had been different. Fett wasn't cruel. He wasn't causing pain to prove his own strength, or at least Din didn't think he was. Maybe he is cruel, Din thought, trying to parse out the confusion of feelings in his head, his chest. Each step he took felt like the last step Din could possibly take, but he forced his body to keep going. They left the kitchens, Fett at Din's elbow, and somehow Din knew that Fett would catch Din if he stumbled. Maybe he's cruel and kind. Stranger things had happened in the galaxy. Din didn't understand how Fett could be both so easily, but Din didn't understand a lot of things that were true, like the existence of Jedi or different ways of the Mandalore. He could handle this difference, if only just. Fett guided Din through the palace to a lift that he opened with the press of his hand on a scanner. True to Fett's guess, no one was moving in the palace. Din wasn't sure exactly how late it was into the night. It had been fully dark when he and Fett had sparred together, and Din had slept an hour, so they couldn't be too far off from sunrise. But the whole palace was still and quiet, the lights turned low. Din put his tangle of thoughts aside and focused on staying upright as the lift climbed upwards, upright as it stopped, upright as the doors opened, and Din found himself once again in Fett's wide, airy rooms. Din balked. Fett rolled his eyes. Come on, let me patch you up, Jaren, he said. The Bacta patches you're using on yourself are expired. I'm fine, Din said. He didn't want to step into Fett's rooms, not with exhaustion still pulling at his limbs, with the memory of Fett's hand around his throat, stirring something hot and excited in Din's belly. "Kirk, what's wrong with me?" Din wondered. 10 minutes, Fett bargained, though there was a thread of steel moving underneath his tone. "Let me make sure you're back in fighting shape, then you can go off to wherever you'd like, though I still need to pay you for Xalto." Din's stomach jolted at the mention of Xalto. He'd forgotten he'd brought the Zygerian in. "Oh," Din said. "Right." Fett rolled his eyes. "Grab a seat over there," he said, pointing to an overturned crate by the edge of the room, where the desert lay sprawled, a breathless drop beyond it. Din's heart eased a little. "At least I can go out the window if I need to," Din thought wryly. He was being unnecessarily skittish. Wariness was good in the field, but a warrior who couldn't feel safe among the tribe was a warrior walking the way of the Warwick, no good for anything but mindless aggression, as soon to lash out at friends and allies as an enemy. Fett was no more Din's tribe than Kreese was, but he was as close to an ally as Din had anymore. "He's seen my face." Din followed Fett and sat where Fett indicated. Fett made a pleased sound that Din determinedly ignored. "Can I see?" Fett asked, after leaving Din for a moment to rummage around, emerging with a roll of sticky Bacta gauze and hypospray. Din eyed the needle. He'd always hated needles. Fett stopped a few paces away from Din. "Can I see?" he repeated. Din realized abruptly that Fett meant that he wanted to see the bruise, which meant that Din would need to take off his kute. Alarm went through him like a blaster bolt. More beings had seen Din's body than his face. He'd been patched up by others before, and the rules surrounding one's body weren't as strict as the ones around showing one's face, but it still wasn't encouraged by the creed, and Din wasn't sure he wanted to be that vulnerable around Fett. "You fell asleep on his chest," Din reminded himself. He'd let Fett hurt him, and had let Fett see him without his helmet on. Din couldn't really be more vulnerable around Fett. He'd done it already. Din peeled off his gloves first, then his gauntlets, released the seals on his pieces of armor one by one. Pauldrons, cuirass, the guards on his legs, and the jetpack over his back, going until Din had a tidy heap of Beskar at his feet. His hands came up to his helmet and hesitated again, almost like they had a will of their own, but Din had been through this already tonight and didn't have any more patience for it. He shed his helmet too, ignoring the weight of Fett's eyes on him while he did it, and tried not to think about the fact that now he had to use two hands to count how many times he'd shown a living thing his face. Once he'd taken the armor off, Din undid the clasps of his kute and slid out of them with practiced warlike efficiency. Fett's rooms were cold with desert night air, and a chill broke out down Din's bare arms and legs, but he ignored it. Fett whistled softly, and Din looked down. His underclothes were rumpled and tacky. He really did need a sonic, and the bruise Fett had worked so diligently into Din's thigh stretched red and angry from underneath the edge of his underclothes to the top of his knee. "That's a nasty scar," Fett remarked. His voice was hoarse. A puckered scar, flushed red and furious, marred the outside of Din's right leg. It had healed badly, and the ridge of it was ugly and fearsome. "It's not that bad," Din said, because, despite the scar's appearance, it had never really hurt. He studied the bruise. Without any Bacta to soothe it, it was still pink and red, hot to the touch. Within a day, Din knew it would deepen to a purple so dark it would be nearly black, edged with blue that would fade to green and yellow. Fett had done his work well. Instead of a great swollen lump left by the impact of Fett's Gaderfi, the bruise was even all over, layered into Din's muscle instead of heaped together in a mess of broken capillaries. He didn't want any Bacta. Din licked his dry lips and looked up at Fett again. "I'm fine," he said. Fett looked back. His eyes were wide and glittering, and if Din didn't know any better, he'd think Fett looked hungry. "Show me your wrist," Fett said. Din did, lifting his right arm for inspection. His arm, too, had its scars. The precise cuts from the surgery to screw plates in, a smattering of burns, a gash near his elbow that had healed silver and smooth. His knuckles had been split 1,000 times, and Din had almost no feeling in the littlest finger on that hand because he'd nearly lost it trying to repair an engine failure aboard the Crest through rough skies. The old back-to-patch was still stuck to the back of his wrist. A bruise peeked out beneath it, darker and richer than it had been before. Bacta sped up healing, put a bruise through days of repair in a matter of hours. So instead of being as raw and red as the one covering his thigh, Din's wrist was blue and green. Fett drew a little closer to inspect the bruises for himself, and then nodded, and, to Din's enormous relief, tucked the hypo away. "You should be fine with just patches," Fett allowed, peeling a few out of the thick wad of Bacta gel in his hands. "You've earned the right to keep them for a bit, anyway, if that's what you're into." "I'm not..." Din started, annoyed, but then he stopped himself. He did want to keep the bruises. Bruises and scars were marks of battles won, injuries survived. "It's all right," Fett said easily. "Not everyone wants their marks gone so soon after they've earned them." Din was quiet at that, turning that over. He wondered if Fett meant that Theron liked to be healed as soon as Fett was done helping. How many other beings Fett had done this for? "Can I?" Fett asked, holding out a back-to-patch. Din nodded. He had had brothers and sisters to care for his injuries before. It was a sort of ritual among the covert. Those who stayed behind to train or care for the kids tended to the Baroia who was injured hunting or fighting. Din had been patched up more times than he could count. Paz's gloves brushing his elbows, Annika's gruff words washing over him while she'd soldered a wound, and he'd done his fair share of patching up others, too. Letting Fett study Din's injuries wasn't too different from that. Fett was proper about it, at least. He kept his gloves on, brushing a very careful hand over the swollen bruise on Din's leg, mindful of Din's warning hiss when Fett pushed a little too hard. "Hold still," Fett murmured. Din obeyed again. It was easy to listen to Fett, Din was finding, and let Fett lay 3 long, cool strips of Bacta down the length of Din's thigh, following the groups of battered muscles. 1 strip for his outer leg, following that old, wicked scar. 1 for the inside, following the ache that had spread to pool around Din's knee. The last lay diagonal across Din's leg, from the outside of his hip to the inside of his knee. The relief was immediate. Fett's Bacta certainly hadn't been swiped from a Mark's nest while on a hunt. He had the good stuff. Din sighed, the Bacta cool and numbing. He had a while before it sank all the way down to the deepest part of the hurt, but Din didn't mind. "Your wrist?" Fett asked. Din gave Fett his hand. Fett's gloves were skin warm. Din tried not to startle at the contrast in sensations, the coolness spreading across his leg, the heat encircling his wrist. Fett's hands were a warrior's hands, big and broad. Fett probed around Din's wrist for a moment, ignoring Din as he winced and shifted whenever Fett's fingers found a sore tendon or swollen joint. "What happened?" Fett finally asked. "I didn't do this." "Jalto did," Din said. "Lucky shot with the back end of a blaster. He caught me between my gauntlet and handguard." Fett made a little sound, face tightening with displeasure. "You hit him back?" Din touched the tiny scar between his eyes with his other hand, offering Fett a crooked smile. "Got him with a mishmoresha," he said, reaching for one of the few words he remembered from the fighting corps. Slamming heads was a tried and true technique among Din's covert and had been encouraged among the foundlings. Fett chuckled, a raspy sound. "Jate," he said. "Nothing's broken, I don't think." "Nothing the Dark Trooper didn't break anyway," said Din, flexing his fingers against Fett's loose grip. "You get the all-clear from that medroid, by the way?" Fett asked. He sounded casual, but Din scowled anyway. "Yes," he said, resisting the urge to pull his arm out of Fett's and tuck it to his chest. It didn't even hurt that much, not really. "The pins held up, anyway. Jalto just got lucky." Fett hummed again. "And your head? Still get headaches, I see." The old back-to-patch was still stuck to the back of Din's neck, tangled in his hair. Din shrugged with one shoulder. "If you say it's fine, Jarika, we're going to have to talk," Fett warned, though a smile was tugging at the corner of his scarred mouth. Din flushed at the endearment again. probably why he used it, he thought, grouchy. He hadn't been called anything like that in, well, since he'd been a child, just learning how to fight. The older kids had called him Dinika until he'd grown strong and smart enough to wipe them across the training ring. A few older warriors had called him Galika, Little Hawk, and he tolerated that well enough until he'd come into his majority, because their respect and affection had been hard won. Those warriors had just about all died off, though, and now Din was one of the elders in his covert. Elders didn't get affectionate nicknames, and if he'd gotten mocking ones, the others were wise enough to keep the name out of Din's ears. "I was cleared," Din said. "But you get headaches." Reluctantly, Din nodded. "How bad?"
"They're manageable."
"Talkative, aren't you?" Fett said. He took another long strip of Bacta and wrapped it around Din's wrist, tossing the old patch away and wrapping the long tails of the Bacta strip up and around Din's thumb to anchor it. "Any other problems? Nausea? Vertigo?" Din pressed his lips together and looked away, out across the desert. Thin gray strips of dawn were pushing up through a blue-black sky, the first of the two suns slowly beginning its climb over the horizon. "I've been knocked around in the head a time or two myself, you know," Fett pointed out. Din thought about the massive dent in Fett's helmet. He didn't know what had to hit Beskar that hard to leave such a mark, but he was sure that whatever it was had also left its mark on Fett.
"So have I," said Din shortly.
He thought about Navarro and the siege on Karga's Cantina. The blood in his eyes, IG-11 looming over him.
"This wasn't that bad, comparatively."
"You spent 3 days in Bacta."
Din scowled again. Satisfied that he'd wrapped up Din's wrist well enough, Fett took his hands away and held them up in surrender.
"Just saying," he said. "We don't exactly have Imperial-grade Bacta tanks out here. So if you're more hurt than you're telling me and you keel over in the Sonic, your only option's to let Ushib take a bone saw to the back of your head."
Din winced. If they couldn't get their hands on any Bacta, the Tuskens handled head injuries by cutting out circular pieces of the skull to relieve the pressure.
"I was cleared," he repeated. "The Medroid, it was giving me Bacta boosters for a while, but I don't need them. It's fine, it's just something to live with until it heals."
"Well, if you feel like your brain's about to start coming out your ears, tell one of us before it actually happens," Fett said.
He bent and scooped up Din's discarded kuta, offering it back.
"The rest of you is fine. You can take the Bacta off after a few hours. It'll hold up in a Sonic. Where are you resting your boots?"
Din took his kuta back gracefully and kitted back up slowly, settling back into his flight suit and then his armor piece by piece.
"Downstairs, off the throne room," he said.
Fett snorted. "Those rooms are a mess still," he said. "Here, take the lift 2 floors down. There's a room there and the fresher works. Calf machine should work too, and the bed's been cleaned."
Din started, but stopped himself before he could say fine and make Fett roll his eyes again.
"It's 1 below Fennec," Fett supplied, "and we're still the only ones who've got access to the lift. Come here, I'll code you in too so you can move around when you'd like, so you won't be bothered."
Din had to admit to himself that he did like the sound of that. A working Sonic was all he really wanted right now, but the guarantee of privacy, at least from other beings, was good too.
"Fine," he said.
Fett smiled.
"Good. I hold court for a few hours every morning and every evening, but you can come back up here after sunset and I'll get you paid up for Jalto. There's no kitchen service in this tower, but I can have Ushib send you something to eat."
"I'll be all right," said Din, a little overwhelmed by Fett's easy care.
He pulled his helmet back on to hide his expression, which Din worried might be too wide-eyed and unsure.
"Thank you."
"I take care of my people," said Fett.
Din couldn't help but perk up a little at that.
"My people."
Din had broken his creed. He didn't have a people anymore. But Fett had offered Din the title easily, thoughtlessly. Fett had Din strip off a glove. Din used his left hand, his right now thoroughly numb, and press it to the scanner in front of the lift. There was a hum and a flash of light while Fett punched a few buttons on the side of the panel, and then the lift made a soft chime and the door slid open.
"There you are."
Fett clapped Din across the back.
"Go rest, Jaren. We can talk later if you have... well, if you want to."
Din just nodded. Uneasiness flickered around the edges of his thoughts. Fett wanted to talk about the kitchens, about pain. It was good, Din told himself, stepping into the lift and letting it whisk him away before Fett could scent out Din's discomfort like a massif. It had been, well, Din had never had his thoughts completely stilled like that before. He'd never had pain so focused, so deliberate, that it had drowned out everything else. Din could still feel the lingering edges of that calm, blunted place inside of him, if he looked for it. It felt like running through a par, like moving through a full form under the eyes of one of his instructors. Din's whole galaxy pared down to encompass only his body and the weight of a weapon in his hands, every motion easy and instinctive. Do I want Fett to do it again? Din resolved to think about it after he'd had a sonic and maybe another nap. The accidental sleep he'd had in the kitchens had refreshed him a little bit, but an hour sleeping on another man's chest was not a full cycle sleep in a safe place, and Fett's tower was probably the safest place in the palace. The lift doors chimed again, and the lift came to a smooth stop, the doors opening onto another large, round room. This one wasn't open to the air like Fett's, though Din didn't mind. A long, low window wrapped around nearly the entire room, which was circular like Fett's, and set up much the same. A low bed sunk into the central pillar, the space divided into sleeping and work quarters by durasteel beams, the only true walls the one surrounding what Din assumed was the private fresher, a few steps from the end of the bed. Din stumbled towards the fresher gratefully, shedding his armor now that he knew he was alone. His kuta and the rest of his clothes soon followed. The darksaber clattered when it hit the ground. The spear rattled. The sonic was old-fashioned but perfectly functional. The frequency made Din so dizzy he had to step out to be sick twice, even with a hand over his ear to block out the worst of the noise, but Din didn't even really mind. He was so relieved to finally be clean. The grime and dust of space travel and the desert shaken off his body. Once he'd cleaned himself off, he limped out, collected his kuta and clothes, and held them in the sonic for a while, watching the sand and dirt vibrate off into nothingness. Standing outside of the sonic didn't make Din sick, so he left the sonic on, kuta inside, and used the meager trickle of water coming out of the sink to rinse out his mouth and splash his face off, working dampness through his hair. He ran a hand over his jaw absently. His throat was red where Fett had grabbed it. He hadn't squeezed very hard, so Din didn't know if it would bruise, but the skin was tender to the touch. He touched the edges of his scruffy beard. Patches of it were missing. Din didn't know why. He'd never grown a full beard, not like he'd seen some humanoids wear. One corner or other of his jaw was stayed bare. He tugged a few strands of hair. He was scruffier than he'd like to be. On the crest, he'd kept himself fairly neat, as demanded by creed. A warrior took care of their body, because their body was a tool, and tools, like Beskar, were kept in good condition. It had been hard to find time to take care of everything after Tython. Din had been so busy rallying allies, hunting Gideon, that he hadn't stopped to trim his beard or his hair, which now was long enough to brush his ears and curl at the base of his neck. After the mesh with Gideon, Din had had the time, but not the interest. What was the point in adhering to a creed that Din had broken? Keeping his hair and beard trimmed in the warrior's fashion was just as much a mockery as pulling the helmet back on every time Din took it off. But Din was too tired to deal with that circular, thorny path of logic, and he looked a mess. Washed out, exhausted, unkempt, hair everywhere, shadows under his eyes. He reached for the blunted, calm place inside of himself and dug around in the cabinet under the sink. He didn't find a razor or vibroblade, but he found what looked like a Wookiee's clippers. The energy pack in them was still good, so Din moved slowly and trimmed down the roughest patches of his beard. He left his hair as it was, still damp and curling everywhere. He could cut it later. By the time Din left the fresher, the suns were clearing the horizon. He didn't care. He took the three steps necessary to get to the bed and collapsed into it, groaning at its softness. His arm hurt. His leg hurt. But his head, still fuzzy and warm, didn't. So Din took the rare opportunity presented to him and closed his eyes, slipping easily, for once, into sleep. Din woke up sometime later to bright sunlight and a dry mouth. His wrist didn't hurt anymore, but his leg did, and when he stirred against the bed, all the nerves sparked awake.
"Dank ferric," Din growled, screwing his eyes shut.
He breathed through it, forcing air through his teeth, and let the pain subside into something more manageable. When he risked moving again, pain flared up his spine, but Din pushed through it, rolling over onto his left side, then propping himself upright, shifting all of his weight to his other leg. The back to patches had done a good job. In the handful of hours Din had slept, 5 or 6 if the position of the suns was anything to go by, the bruise around Din's wrist had aged a week. It was green and yellow now, the swelling all but gone, and when he flexed each of his fingers, he found that they could move more or less without pain, though a deeper ache in his forearm persisted. The pins, he thought. Back to patches were good at surface-level healing, at bruises, inflammation. Shattered bones, less so. His leg looked better, too, though the bruise itself was still deep night sky blue. Only the very edges of it had started to fade to green. "You've earned the right to keep them," Fett had said. Din carefully prodded the edges of the bruise, shivering a little as pain throbbed through him. Fett had meant that, then. He'd given Din enough Bacta to still be able to move his leg, but not so much that the bruise faded to nothing but an irritation. Din curled his fingers underneath the edge of one of the Bacta strips and hesitated before he shook his head to clear it and pulled the strip off, starting with the outside of his thigh and moving in. He left the Bacta on his wrist where it was. Task done, Din carefully stood, testing his weight. Pain barked up his spine, but he didn't wobble. If anything, his body came alive, heart rate picking up, breath quickening. Other, smaller hurts were crowded out by the building burn Fett had pressed into Din's skin. Din pressed his fingers to the edge of the bruise again, a sound built in his throat, and he realized, suddenly, sharply, that he was still naked. Arousal slammed into him like the kickback from a pulse rifle. His blood thundered, his skin grew warm underneath his touch. Din forced a breath out, surprised. He had poked and prodded hundreds of his own bruises over the years. Thousands. He'd had worse than this bruise Fett had given him, much worse. He'd been shot and stabbed and burned, electrocuted, poisoned, slashed, cut. Nothing had ever affected him like this. Nothing else was ever this intentional. Oh, Din had been hurt plenty of times by beings intending to hurt him. His teachers had used pain as a guide, his enemies as a deterrent. But Din had never had anyone use pain to help him, to settle his thoughts, to ground him. Only Fett had done that. Din couldn't help himself. So many thoughts and feelings were skittering around underneath his skin, a noise rising and clanging like struck Beskar behind his teeth. His heart leapt up into his throat. He grabbed at the bruise blindly, fingers digging in. White fire blinded him. Din thought that he shouted. He didn't know what to do with the fact that his cock was hard. Din had never spent much time bumping Beskar, no matter what Xian had liked to imply. Most of the young warriors in the covert had fumbled around with each other now and again, Din included, but it had never been something Din had actively sought out, and by the time he'd been out on his own most of the time, his will had been strong enough that he could ignore most stirrings of arousal. But this was something else. This was something different. He let go of his bruised thigh, gasping for breath. The ache of it burned through him, fierce as a dragon. If Din concentrated, he could still feel the echoes of Fett's gloves on him. Fett's fingers curled underneath Din's jaw. Din closed his eyes, teeth gritted, and counted down from the highest number he knew in Rodian. When that did nothing to settle the energy underneath his skin or to soften the swell of his cock, Din did the same thing in Huttese. He curled his hands at his sides. That didn't work either. Arousal and pain burned low together in his belly, a simmer that rose and rose every time he tried to turn his thoughts aside. Din swore softly. "Is this how Theron feels?" he wondered, and then immediately cursed himself for wondering. As soon as he thought about Theron, he thought about Fett, about the whip, the marks, the noises. Din couldn't help but think of Fett offering Din pain in the kitchens. Couldn't help wonder what it would feel like to have Fett lick stripes over Din's back, his ribs, the meat of his shoulders. Din bit the inside of his cheek, but not even that helped.
"J'ate," Fett would say.
Din could hear the warmth in his memory.
"Or j'ate."
"Dank ferric," Din growled. He spat in his palm, feeling like an Anuba panting after anything that moved, and took himself in his hand. He had to climb back in the Sonic after. The vibrations made him nauseous again, but this time Din didn't mind. "That's what I get for losing discipline like an untried apprentice," Din thought, frustrated with himself. Grabbing his leg hadn't helped anything either. Din had held on tight enough to spark new, fresh pain, and he limped a little as he left the fresher and began the familiar ritual of pulling his armor back on. Din knew that a sonic cleaned a being off just as well as a water shower, but he still washed his hands a few more times before he touched the smooth, shiny plates of Beskar to fit them into the circuitry of his kute. By the time he was fully armored, spear on his back, darksaber at his hip, and on his way out of the room, pulling off his glove again to get the lift to work, Din had mastered the limp and gotten the skittish, buzzing sensation in his chest and hands under control. When the second lift opened onto the palace's main floor and Din set off in the direction of the throne room, he did so smoothly, without a hitch in his step or any slowness to betray his lingering pain. "At least I can muster up that much control," he thought, wryly. There were more beings moving about in the halls today, a dull silver protocol droid, the Wookiee hunter Kasik, a trio of Jawas. The throne room was busier too, though it was still subdued from Jabba's day. There was no cantina band this time, just knots of Tatooinians clustered together around the bar and the tables and the alcoves, talking among themselves while Fett sat sprawled across his throne. Din nodded at Fett as he entered, making for the bar. Nora, the Twi'lek, was tending again, and she smiled when she saw Din. "What can I get you?" she asked. "Alderaanian wine, maybe? We've got a couple of good vintages left. Spatchka?"
"Water, please," Din said.
He grimaced under his helmet.
"With a straw, if you've got one."
Nora's eyes roamed over Din's helmet. "For you, sweetheart, we've got whatever you need," she said. Din rolled his eyes. The water was sweet and cold, though, once Nora had poured him a glass and slid a little reed straw into it. Din disengaged his helmet seal and took a drink. Some of the others at the bar watched him out of the corners of their eyes, but no one tried anything.
"Anything to eat?" Nora asked.
Din was still faintly nauseous from the sonic and a stomach weak. He shook his head. Nora shrugged.
"Yell if you change your mind," she said, and turned her attention to a human who was loudly demanding another cup of spatchka.
Din turned his attention to the proceedings in the center of the throne room. Fett was different, holding court. Din watched him for a while, trying to piece it together. It wasn't that Fett was cruel or pompous or any of the things Jabba the Hutt had been. Jabba's court had been a jumble of noise and backbiting and casual hate. Jabba had wanted to be entertained. If he hadn't been able to wring enough amusement out of his terrified guests, he'd gotten it by dropping one of his guards down to the Rancor, or beating one of the dancing girls, or forcing two of his hunters to fight each other in front of him while the rest of the room made bets. Fett didn't do any of that. He was all business, attentive and alert. Serious. He weighed every request put before him with inscrutable calm. "But he's distant," Din thought, watching Fett sort out a dispute between two spice runners who claimed that the other had stolen their particular patch. Fett sat on Jabba's throne like a mountain sat in the middle of the desert. Distant and strange, remote and untouchable. Everyone in the room felt it and either made too much or too little noise. The only person who didn't seem at all bothered was Fennec, who perched on the arm of Fett's throne and watched everyone with cool eyes, pulse rifle across her lap.
"They're still expecting an attack," Din realized.
Fett's footing wasn't as strong as Fett wanted his court to think. Fett and Fennec were prepared for someone, the Hutts, a rival, an assassin, to burst in and start shooting. Fett was distant because half his attention, hidden behind his helmet, was on the staircase. Without pausing to think about it, Din rolled up from the bar, leaving his glass behind, and padded over to the staircase, where he took up a post, leaning against the wall, facing the throne. Anyone who burst down the steps and made for Fett would have to pass Din, and Din had a spear and good reflexes. Fett's helmet tilted in Din's direction, questioning. Din didn't move, just propped his sore leg up on his good one and settled deeper into the wall. Fennec, her eyes on a knot of Rodians by the bar, half-smiled. The rest of the court session, Din wasn't really sure what to call it, a hearing, an audience, passed quickly. Fett sorted the spice traders out handily enough. He accepted the loyalty of two humans who pledged themselves as scouts, put Cacique the Wookiee on a hunt after a tearful Twi'lek from Mos Eisley came forward and said her daughter, her only remaining child, had been captured by slavers, and collected taxes from three cantina owners in the city. Two of them even paid up without a fuss. The third, a Zeltron with an attitude problem, tried to bluster his way out of it until Fennec pulled a small blaster from her boot and shot him in the knee. He paid after that and was pulled from the room by two other Zeltrons, cursing. Fett climbed to his feet as the Zeltron curses still echoed up the stairs. He gestured to Fennec, who slid into Fett's throne with all the grace of a very large predator, and Fett made his way over to Din, who stayed where he was. "I have bodyguards, you know," said Fett, his tone muffled by his helmet. Din shrugged. "None of them have a spear." That made Fett laugh. Din smiled to himself, pleased, and pointedly ignored the flicker of interest stirring in his belly. "How are you feeling?" Fett asked. "Good?" "Good," said Din, skirting the word fine. Fett didn't seem to like it much. "You like the room?" "I like the sonic," Din admitted, which made Fett chuckle again, like Din had told a clever joke instead of an admittedly sly truth. "Bed wasn't bad either. Better than anything on the light cruiser."
"Yeah, the imps have always had some strange grudge against being comfortable," Fett said. "Saw you over with Nora. You get enough to eat, to drink?"
"I'm fighting fit," said Din.
Fett made another one of his little noises, this one low enough to be barely more than a crackle in his vocoder. "Want to head back upstairs, then?"
Din's stomach plunged.
"Still got to see you paid," Fett said. Din flushed, embarrassed. Of course, Fett wanted to talk business. He'd said as much last night. Or this morning, whichever it had been. He'd wanted to pay Din after holding court for the morning. Judging by the light slanting in through the windows, they were well on their way to afternoon now.
"Lead the way," said Din gruffly, letting his vocoder bleed the embarrassment out of his voice.
Fett nodded and waited for Din to peel himself off the wall. They left the throne room together. "You're walking well," Fett remarked, as they moved towards the first lift together. "How's the bruise?"
Din checked the hall, alarmed, but saw that they were alone. "It's all right," he said, still avoiding fine. "The Bacta healed it up enough to walk on."
"You still have any Bacta on?"
"Just this."
Din lifted his right arm half-heartedly. Fett cut him a glance Din could feel even through his helmet.
"I didn't need the patches on my leg anymore," he defended himself.
It did its job." "You sleep at all?"
"I did," Din admitted, thrown. He didn't see why Fett would care.
"More than an hour?"
Din flushed again, remembering the feel of Fett's Beskar cool against his face. "More than an hour," he said.
"Good," said Fett, sounding satisfied. Din couldn't fathom why he'd be satisfied either, but he was starting to realize that Fett was a mystery Din might never unravel. That was all right. Mandalorians were odd as a general rule, and without a tribe of his own, Fett had likely only gotten odder.
"I wonder what happened to his people."
Under the throne room, standing in front of all that Beskar, Fett had said that he'd had enough of brothers. Had there been too many in his clan, too little glory to go around? Had they fought amongst themselves and ripped their tribe apart? Some coverts had gone that way over the years. Din's allure had been good at rooting out tension before it could fester and split like a wound gone rotten. But other coverts in the network hadn't had such luck or skilled leadership. Warriors had competed with each other. Baroya had gotten proud and sloppy. Able fighters had deserted, leaving the old and young to the mercy of the wider galaxy. "You give any more thought to what we talked about last night?" Fett asked. Din blinked and pulled himself out of his own head with some effort.
"What?"
what we talked about, said Fett patiently.
He opened the first lift and ushered Din inside, and they began to climb to Jabba's old tower.
About pain. Did you like it? Did it help?
Did I like it? Din repeated, flatly.
Yes, he liked it. Stars help me, I liked it.
He'd come in his hand just an hour ago thinking about it. He could still feel Fett's fingers on either side of his throat.
Fett just looked at him, expressionless and patient.
Din blew out a crackly breath.
Can we talk after? He asked, trying to buy himself time to order his thoughts.
If he started talking now, Din was afraid that words would fall off his tongue before he could catch them. He was afraid of showing Fett too much, of saying the wrong thing.
I don't... It's personal, and this, he gestured at the lift, still climbing up, is work.
Ah, said Fett, nodding. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, we can talk after.
Really, though, you slept well?
Better than I usually do, Din admitted. He couldn't be sure, but he thought that Fett stood a little straighter at that, pleased and proud.
Din flexed his fingers just to feel something aside from nerves and apprehension.
I'm no good at this.
He shouldn't have stayed in that kitchen. He should have tackled Fett and bolted, made his apologies in the throne room later. Staying had shown Fett too much. But Fett was apparently content to let the matter lie, because he didn't mention it again as the lift stopped and they'd crossed the hall to Fett's turret together, climbing into the second lift and taking it up to Fett's open rooms.
While we were beating the criff out of each other, Fennec was playing with Jalto, Fett said, as the lift doors opened. He sang like a carking shriekhawk. You did good bringing him in.
It was Din's turn to stand straighter, pleased.
He didn't give me that much trouble, he demurred, though the praise settled behind his chest and glowed.
He is terrified of you, said Fett, amused.
He guided Din over to the workbench, still talking.
Seems to think you're Tusken under all that Beskar.
I told him I was, Din said. A Tusken, I mean. We saw a raider up on a ridge, coming out of the canyons.
The raider didn't shoot at you?
Din shook his head. No, he knew who I was. He let us go without any trouble.
Then you're Tusken enough for these parts, said Fett. All the tribes are on edge. Anything short of an armed caravan usually gets torn to pieces in the Great Dune Sea. Here, Jaren, your fee. Well earned.
Fett pulled a crate out from underneath the work table and tipped it over, spilling its contents out in a song of clinking metal.
Din pulled up short. Beskar ingots clinked and rattled, their dark gray faces caught in the sun's. Din stared at Fett.
This is too much, he said. This is 2-3 Kamtonos. Jalto wasn't worth this.
He wanted to reach out and touch the Beskar, but he stopped himself. Din had never been offered this much for a single bounty before. Not even the kid. He'd been worth a full Kamtono alive, and that Kamtono had been the single largest payout Din had ever taken. And compared to getting the kid, snagging Jalto had been a piece of Ujalai. Finding Grogu had been the work of days. Din had found Jalto over the course of a night.
Maybe he was worth this much to me, Fett said lightly. Din scowled at him, even though Fett couldn't see it. This wasn't something to joke about. This was Din's job.
You dishonor me, Din said. Fett froze. Din folded his arms across his chest, Beskar clinking. It was true. Accepting this much Beskar for a simple bounty made Din look greedy. Like Din didn't care about the quality of his own work or the honor in providing for his clan. Like the only thing that mattered to him was clink or credits.
Fett was silent for a moment.
You're very traditional, he observed.
Din's shoulders tensed.
Kreese and her Talvode had told him the same thing, that Din's way was old-fashioned, odd, unusual. Din hadn't ever really thought about it. It was the way. Traditional or not, it was. And Din still found himself following it, even though by the creed itself he was supposed to leave it behind.
Niseta, said Fett formally. He inclined his head and scrubbed a hand over his scars, apologetic.
It was not my intention to offend you.
Beskar is not worth as much to me as it is to you, and I miscalculated.
Din blinked. He knew the proper response, though as a foundling, he'd always been the one apologizing.
Nuantia, he said.
He too shifted, uncomfortable.
There are... I didn't meet Mandalorians of other ways until recently, he explained.
He remembered his words to Bo-Katan only a few months ago. There is only one way of the Mandalore. And I'm learning that mine is different from other ways. Beskar means much to my tribe.
My cult.
That's what Kryze had called Din's creed. The word burned in his throat like acid. Din hadn't given it much thought. He'd been busy at the time, focused on his quest, and while Koska Reeves had taken it upon herself to follow Din around the light cruiser and lightly point out aspects of her way, Din had done his best to avoid her. It had become a little game between them almost, like the games of hide and explode Din had played in the covert as a child, except Reeves bombarded him with uncomfortable truths instead of paint grenades.
Still, said Fett, the error is mine.
He studied the heap of Beskar ingots for a moment, then picked up a stack of six.
Din still balked.
Six ingots was enough for a cuirass.
I used a lot of your fuel, Din pointed out.
Fett huffed. But you were faster than expected, and you brought Jalta back alive, he said. And you took an injury. Consider the extra ingot hazard pay.
Din bit back a snort of disbelief.
Hazard pay was something that Coreworlders got when they ventured into the Outer Rim, not something a bounty hunter could collect.
I don't have any other hunters of your skill on my payroll at the moment, Fett said, seeing that Din was still reluctant to accept such a big payout.
Nobody else who could have hunted Jalta down for me, anyway. And I can't leave yet to go hunting myself. My position here is too new. So consider it a premium rate if you have to, but take the Karking Beskar.
Din examined Fett's statement. There had been the Wookiee hunter down in the throne room the first day Din had walked into the palace, but Din didn't know his skill level. If Fett himself couldn't leave and go hunting, that would make Din the most skilled hunter available.
The most skilled were the highest paid. That was true everywhere.
Fine, Din said. Six ingots.
Fett handed over the stack, still looking like he couldn't believe he'd had this argument. Din, however, was pleased. Six ingots was generous, almost too generous, but still reasonable enough that Din couldn't be accused of greed. The ingots were heavy in his hands. Din resisted the urge to cradle them to his chest. He was a grown warrior, not an excited foundling.
You have more work for me? Din asked.
You sticking around?
Din nodded.
What about Her Majesty and her crusade? Fett rumbled. Din winced. She's still determined to reclaim Mandalore or some other wild nerf chase?
We went to Mandalore, Din said quietly.
He had to close his eyes briefly against the memory. It was still so fresh in his head that he could smell it. The Beskar ingots grew exponentially heavier in his hands.
It wasn't good.
You were right. The Empire glassed the entire planet. Concordia, too, and Concord Dawn. Even the cities, there's nothing left. Mandalore had been a ball of white dust. Not even sand. Sand could nurture life if given a cool enough night and a periodic rainstorm. But just dust and ash and bone. The cities had been cracked open like mudhorn eggs. The towns turned into craters. Fett was quiet, too. Din pressed a hand against his helmet, pushing it back into his brow. He'd seen death and destruction before. His covert had made its home in all sorts of devastated places. Christophsis, Kashyyyk, Ryloth, Fest. Mandalore hadn't even been that bad, really. On Kashyyyk, they'd been able to smell the rotting Wookiees in the treetop villages all around them, the dying Rushir trees, the heavy, clinging stink of sap burning in the Imperial refineries down in the valleys.
Kryze told me that there was a weapon, Din said. He looked at Fett.
Designed to kill us, Mandalorians specifically, I mean. It targeted Beskar and cooked a warrior alive inside their armor.
Fett nodded slowly.
I heard about that, he said. It wasn't active for long, but it wiped out a good dozen of the big clans. Ren, Ordo, Awad, Braelor, Gendry, Deshra. I know some Wrens made it out, a Braelor or two, maybe an Ordo, but the fighting forces were decimated. Clan Awad alone lost over 800 warriors.
Din flinched. 800. An unimaginable number. He didn't know if there were 800 Mandalorians across the entire network of coverts, including the children, the elders.
Last I heard, that weapon was destroyed, Fett continued. Some rebel squad took it out. Won a lot of the Mandoade survivors over to the rebellion's cause. The technology was lost, but not before it did its job.
Din thought of the skeletons on Mandalore and Concordia, so badly burnt that they'd been welded to the rock. The ash that covered the entire planet. The empty Beskar mines. Din had never been to Mandalore, not even as a child. With the Clone Wars raging, it had been too dangerous for his rescuers to bring him there, though they had dutifully recorded his name with the rest of the Foundlings.
There's nothing left on Mandalore, Din repeated. Kryze didn't. She didn't take it well. That's why I left when you calmed. She hasn't decided what she wants to do yet, where she wants to go.
Fett cocked his head.
So you're still with her in her quest? He asked.
Din nodded.
I swore it, he said. Kryze had held up her end of the bargain. She had helped take the cruiser from Moff Gideon and had protected the kid. Din was with her in her own quest, even if hers seemed more impossible than even his had been.
Fett shook his head.
Good luck, he said. You do want to stick around, then. There's work that needs doing.
Din looked pointedly at the pile of Beskar.
Fett grimaced.
Fair, he conceded.
I might need more than bounty work, though.
I'm no assassin, Din said, but I can help in other ways.
Fennec would kill me if I gave you all of her jobs anyway.
Fett cocked his head, eyes bright.
There room for you in two courts, Mandalore? Kryze's and mine?
Din ignored the way that made him warm, the feeling of being wanted curling happily in his chest. For now, he allowed. Kryze was directionless without Mandalore, but Din had the vague suspicion that Kryze was the sort of lofcat that always landed on its feet. She'd come up with something sooner or later, and when she did, Din would be duty-bound to follow her. But his comms had been silent the entire time he'd been on Tatooine. Her needs, such as they were, apparently weren't pressing.
Good, said Fett. I need an emissary.
Din cocked his head.
A what? A representative of sorts, Fett explained. Someone from my outfit who can go to others, broker deals, set up trade, that kind of work. In between hunting, since that's a bit thin on the ground at the moment.
Din frowned again. He thought of Queel and the Jawas. I'm not much of a negotiator.
Not compared to a galactic senator or Obi-Wan Karkin Kenobi, no, said Fett. As if Din had ever met any galactic senators, or whoever Obi-Wan Kenobi was. But you're not bad for a Mandalorian.
What does that mean?
Fett laughed. It means you only try and solve your arguments with fire about half the time, he said. The other half you're willing to talk. And you've got friends around.
Most of my friends are on Nevarro, in hiding, or plotting to retake a glassed planet, Din pointed out.
And the rest are out raiding settler farms or running free towns out in the Great Sand Dunes.
You need me to negotiate with the Tuscans and Cobb Vanth?
To start, said Fett.
He waved a hand, encompassing the palace and the desert and the planet beyond it.
Jabba kept his grip on Tatooine through fear and the backing of the Hutt cartel. Bib Fortuna was too busy carking around with slave girls and spice to care about keeping a grip on the planet at all. I don't keep slave girls, I don't like spice, and I don't have the backing of the Hutt cartel.
So you need agreements and alliances, Din realized, considering. Everyone on Tatooine had bowed to Jabba, because if they hadn't, Jabba would have brought the might of the cartel down on them and everyone they cared about. Fett didn't have that power, nor, thought Din privately, that inclination. He was a Mandalorian, and Mandalorians were practical. Towns that were wiped out for defiance were towns where Fett couldn't turn a profit.
I do, said Fett. Mos Eisley fell in line quick. Having someone smart in that chair means more money for the city. Other places haven't quite caught on yet.
Like Mos Pelgo.
Mos Pelgo had a bad go of it until your marshal friend found my Beskar Gam. After, they were one of the few settlements that could run off slavers. They're stubborn, tough. Other towns respect them. More than one slaving outfit like to nail Vance's skin to the wall like a prized crate hide, but I don't slave or freight with slavers. If Mos Pelgo wanted to consider a trade alliance...
Other towns might follow. Din nodded.
He had intended to head out and check on Mos Pelgo anyway, since he'd be in the sector. He and the kid had stayed for a few days, after Din had been swallowed by the Greater Crate, and it had been a nice enough town for Tatooine. He liked the Tuskens around Mos Pelgo, too, the Sun Rock. They'd been as sensible and practical as Din could hope for.
"So you'll go?" Fett asked.
"I will," Din said. He held up a finger. "But we agree on payment beforehand." Fett shook his head, exasperated, but said, "Fine. 15 ingots if you come back with an agreement, 5 if you come back empty-handed."
"You'll still pay me if I come back empty-handed?"
"Sure. It's not bounty work. I'll throw in another ingot if you can get Cobb Vanth to come himself, though I hear he doesn't roam far these days."
16 ingots of pure Beskar. Din shook his head.
"It's too much," he protested. "It really isn't," said Fett. "If Mos Pelgo signs on and works out a trade deal with me, other settlements will fall all over themselves for the chance. I'll be able to set whatever terms I want. We'll get trade flowing again, credits moving through the planet. I'll get some legitimacy beyond what I can win with my blaster."
Din still balked.
"If you think you're being overpaid because the job's easy, think again. The Great Dune Sea is a mess right now. Raiders, rivals, cartels. There's a good chance you'll be attacked going from the palace." Din didn't brighten at that necessarily, since being shot out on a speeder was hardly ideal, but he did relax. Hazardous work always paid more.
"Fine," he said. 16 ingots if I can bring Vanth back here for an agreement. 15 if he agrees but doesn't come. 5 for if he turns you down."
"Done," said Fett. And like that, another contract was struck. "You leave in the morning. I've got to draft an agreement for Vanth. You need anything else?"
Din shook his head. He had what he needed, for now at least. His leg twinged, phantom heat stirring.
"Well," he said. About what we talked about? What you showed me?"
He began, but this time it was Fett who shook his head. "You're working," he said. "We can talk about it when you get back from Mos Pelgo. Would that help? We can spar, raid the kitchens again, talk about it."
The thought of being back in those kitchens, being under Fett's hands again, made Din's pulse quicken. A bright seed of interest blossomed in his belly. His cock stirred underneath his kute. Din had to clench his hands and count down from 10, holding his breath, before he could speak.
"All right," he said hoarsely. When I get back."
"Jate, then go rest," Fett instructed. "Or train, or whatever you'd like to do. Ushib will feed you. Fennec will use you for target practice if you want a sparring partner." Din didn't snap to attention and salute like a new recruit on the training field, but he thought about it. Instead, he only dipped his head, pleased with his new sense of purpose, and left Fett to his business, hands full of Beskar, heading off towards the place he'd last seen Fennec Shand. Target practice didn't sound half bad.